number two with Harry tonight. Sharkhunters.com is the site, and we're taking a little trip with Harry on his just completed latest journey to Europe, and fascinating pictures. If you're just joining us, go to guests on the left-hand side, look for Harry's name. Underneath that, you'll see a link. It says photos, and that's where you want to go. So we are looking at lots of interesting pictures. Okay, back to the tour, Maestro.
Back to the tour. Just below the picture of the...
Or if you want to talk about your Corvette, we can do that.
No, that that thing's going to get me a slew of tickets here. I had some guy in an old pickup truck, a new pickup truck, was going to race me off of a traffic light, and we live way out in the country, so there's nobody in danger. And mm-hmm. So I jumped on it, and I looked in the mirror to see how far back he was. I couldn't see the truck at all. All I saw was a car right behind me with all sorts of red and blue lights flashing. And the cop pulled me over. I says, geez, was I speeding? He says, come on, I had you at 55 and climbing in a 35 zone. So took my license, went back, and I guess they run you on their computer, and he came back with a warning ticket. He says, I could give you a $500 ticket, but he says, I'll just give you this warning ticket. And I thanked him, shook his hand. He kept telling me about how bad it would be if I got killed. And as he turned to walk away, he stopped for a second, turned back. He said, Mr. Cooper, this is a very fast car. Be careful. I know it's a very fast
he
car.
Did, he didn't know. He didn't know your background, of course.
No, that's right. And I figured it's best not to tell him that I'm used to driving 190 miles an hour.
No.
Two inches off of somebody else's bumper and an inch from the wall at Michigan or Pocono, Texas World Speedway. God, that was living.
Yeah. Well, was this when it was red?
Oh, yeah. Oh, this was only a couple of months ago.
Oh, okay. All right.
They, for some reason, police seem to spot red Corvette.
It's the damnedest thing. I can't understand it myself. That is the reddest Corvette I have ever seen.
Yeah. It's my buddy Big George, the body and painter guy. We repainted that thing, and boy, oh boy, if you look at it in the bright sunlight for more than a couple of minutes, when you turn away, everything has a bluish tinge.
I'm sure
it
does. Yeah.
So.
All right. That's just for you listeners. That's a C3.
C3.
Corvette.
1981.
Yeah.
The last year they made real Corvettes. No, 82 was the last year they made real Corvettes. They didn't make any in 83, and then 84 on up, they're just shrunk down Cadillacs with incredible power. You know, you got surround sound, and you got climate control, and you got big easy chairs.
Really?
Yeah, the C1, 2, and 3 up to 1982, they ride like a brick, but they're a true sports car. The other ones, they got incredible power, but surround sound, all that. My car, you can't even hear the radio.
Can you, you certainly can adjust the suspension in them to make them more comfortable. There must be some things you can do if they ride that much like a brick.
Well, then you lose your handling.
I get it.
Yeah, otherwise, you know, otherwise you don't have your handling.
Got it.
It's a nice car. My wife thinks I'm going to die in it. I certainly hope she's wrong. I'm not fixing to die for another 30-odd years.
No. You have too many tours to make. All right, let's get back to business here. Yeah.
Okay. Right below the Nuremberg Castle, there's that interior shot, as you call it. That is a former guard post turned into a cafeteria. So we get our stuff and we go outside to sit. And the next one you see, I'm holding a bottle of Afri-Cola. That's a very, very popular brand in Germany. And the name Afri, and you look at that palm tree, and what is it? What does that bring to your mind? The Africa Corps.
Oh, yeah. No, that's just
a
coincidence, isn't it?
Hmm?
A coincidence, yeah.
It could be a coincidence, or maybe somebody who served in the Africa Corps founded this company. I don't know. It was popular a few years ago, but it's really gaining in popularity now. You get this in every restaurant. You ask for a cola, and you're going to get an Afri-Cola.
What's it taste like?
It tastes like Coke. like Pepsi.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. It's just another cola drink.
All right.
It's yummy.
Now, the pub that's above it,
yeah.
The pub, whatever that is, that's where there's food in there, too, right? That's where you just
snack
got your...
Yeah, you can't sit down inside because mm-hmm. it was a guard shack, but there's tables outside under the trees
mm-hmm.
on the castle grounds. They're very nice, and there's other shots of the castle that I didn't put here that, you know, we just don't have time for a couple of hundred photos, but there are pictures inside the castle, what looks like a beautiful balcony, a long balcony where you can go and get sun in the morning. No, it's also for the archers in case an enemy is coming into the courtyard. They're two stories up, protected by this mm-hmm. railing, and mm-hmm. it's a solid railing, and they could shoot down at the invaders. And then there's a garden, a beautiful manicured garden, and you're better than a half a mile high in the sky. But this is where the king's family, or mm-hmm. the emperor's family, or there were three of them there, three castles.
Mm-hmm.
This is where they enjoyed their leisure time. I mean, you didn't have cable TV back in them days, and they certainly weren't going to go down in amongst the common folk.
Mm-hmm.
So they had these magnificent gardens up there.
Well, send James one picture of the garden. We'll stick it in this lineup here by Africola.
Okay, we'll send him.
We just talked about it, so we should stick one in there.
Okay, I'll send it to him in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can, or he can go on to the website and pick whichever one he likes. Either way, it doesn't matter. We'll take care of it.
And I mean, one of the Corvette, too. You can put the Corvette in there, too.
Yeah, we can do that, too.
All right. Now, next is, I don't know what the heck that is.
I'm holding a little card, and of course, that's Bill Napier, the Marine veteran
uh-huh.
in the back. But I'm holding a little card, which is a little blurry. You can't read it. But they were passing these out at that snack bar to everybody. And it says, in German, it says, every day, I have my mind scrubbed clean by the media. In other words, we're being brainwashed by the media.
Good for them.
And they're handing that out to everybody.
There's some aware people. Very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Germany is either going to wake up or it's not going to make it with what's going on there. And I hope.
I hope so, too, because all of Europe is starting to get flooded.
You know, those crazy Swedes, they're out of their mind. I don't want to get into politics here, but I've been watching that, and I'm sure many of you listening have. They're nuts. They are crazy.
Sweden is pretty well lost.
It's gone. They're actually the liberals, the socialists, who are in many positions of power there, are telling the citizens to give it up and learn to join with the refugees.
Yeah, right.
Honestly.
Diversity.
Yeah, right. Diversity means death. It doesn't work.
Yeah. Diversity is our strength. That's a lot of crap.
No, it's total crap. These people,
it's a good thing I'm not going to college nowadays. I'd have a lot of problems with my professors.
Well, you wouldn't graduate, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'm afraid you're right, yeah.
All right. But that's to your credit. We have... Anyway, let's go on here. This is fun. The tour's fun, and the next time Harry goes...
That's the Irish in me.
Yeah, that's all right. Now, this is a building.
That is the... in German it's called the Rathaus. Rathaus.
Uh-huh.
It's actually City Hall. And the emblem over the door is the emblem of Nuremberg, and it's an old, magnificent old building. And you look at the next picture down from that, and evidence of war, machine gun bullet holes in the wall.
Wow.
And this is in the courtyard.
Mm-hmm.
And, war is just a horrible thing. Everybody loses.
No winners.
Except the people who finance all sides.
Oh, the bankers always win.
That's another whole story, yeah.
That's what we're looking at right now. Hillary and her neocon cronies are so... So they want war so badly, it's not funny.
I can't imagine how she can even get one person to vote for her, because she's got so many crimes stacked up behind her, but of course the FBI says she didn't really mean to do any of these things, so we won't.
When you think about it, Donald Trump is running against the Democrats. He's running against the Republicans, who have turned their backs on him. He's running against Hillary. He's running against socialism, the neocons. Yeah. He's running against the FBI, the NSA, the DIA. He's running against everybody. The guy's amazing. And the abuse he has taken in the last year, year and a half, is staggering. And he's still out there every day. He is strong. He's a leader. He's a natural. Yeah. You must see it clearly.
He's a strong man. He's a powerful, he's a great American.
Yes, he is.
And if he wins, I hope, he's going to have to watch his back, because accidents happen.
Oh, and they want Pence. The globalists love Pence. Pence is a globalist sock puppet. He never should have been selected. Oh, yeah. He has stabbed Trump.
Sock puppet. I like that analogy, a sock puppet.
He has stabbed Trump in the back four times already. Betrayed him.
He'll be the president if Trump.
Yeah, I know. They know. They're all right. Next up is a gold badge of some kind.
This is one of the high points of our Nuremberg trip.
Uh huh.
We were shown a very special shop. It's a little out of focus because I am definitely not a photographer anymore. I used to be a photojournalist way back a million years ago. But this is a medal that was given in 1935 for yacht racing in Wilhelmshaven. And the next one down is something that was handmade by one of the crew of U-552, which was Eric Topp's boat. Topp was a member. And this shop sells all sorts of things that are politically incorrect.
I gotcha.
If you catch the drift, yes.
Sure.
And every once in a while, the lefties march around in front of his shop protesting, etc. And he just smiles because it drives more and more business into his shop.
Right.
And Bill, the Marine Corps veteran, collects autographed photos. And this shopkeeper had tons of autographed photos of German movie stars of the day, because Berlin was bigger than Hollywood in those days.
That's right.
That's right. And so Bill was like a kid in a candy store. He was just buying all sorts of these things, and other members bought other stuff. And of course, you know, they had to have a little sticker over the swastika on everything, because as you know,
burn your eyeballs right out.
Yeah, it makes your brain melt.
Go blind.
And you send money to the spit lickers.
That too.
But we are definitely keeping this shop in the mix for next year.
Uh-huh.
And we'll have to have a little more time set aside. We only had an hour in this shop, and you could spend the whole day in there, and a ton of money too. But the guy is negotiable. You know, I got about 15% or 20% off my two purchases you see there.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill, because he was buying so many photos, I think he got a chunk off.
You bought the Messerschmitt engine, did you?
No, I didn't buy the Messerschmitt engine. That's one of the museums that our friend Michael operates.
Ah.
It's in a tower air raid shelter with a pointy top, so if a bomb came down, it would bounce off the top. And immediately after the war, they had a sign out front that said it's off limits to Allied personnel, because they brought the ladies of the night in there for rehabilitation. And then after that, it was used as apartment, not apartment, but just living quarters for people while their houses were being rebuilt after the bombing.
Who was getting rehabilitated?
The hookers. Let's cut to the chase.
Wait a minute. They weren't working. They were getting rehabilitated?
Yeah, right. They were doing other work, but work that's socially acceptable.
I got it.
Not
politically rehabilitated. I understand now.
Something like that.
I thought you meant they were on vacation and they were just resting.
Well, maybe that's a way to look at it. On vacation from working at night.
Yes. Now, the Messerschmitt engine, this is interesting because, as I'm sure all of you know, especially you Shark Hunters members, there were planes that went down all over Europe, especially Germany, and planes from both sides, all three sides. And these planes, if you find a wreck, and there are God knows how many thousands. I think the Germans were making 4,000 fighter planes a month at the end of the war, but they had no fuel, they had no pilots. They kept producing.
Right, the pilots were so badly trained, not badly trained, but just no training at all.
Well, they were kids.
Had hundreds of hours before they ever went into combat. These guys, okay, they push this button, start the engine, now you're a combat pilot.
That's it. Well, they find these plane crash sites, and many of the parts, like the landing gear, the hydraulics, some of them will still have shiny parts. And they'll sell parts of these FW-190s, 109s, whatever, for a lot of money on the Internet. You can find them.
Oh, yeah. 20 years ago, another one of our members, who later became my son's godfather, he'd be coming up here in North Florida, putting up wanted posters. He would pay anybody $500 to show him where there was a downed warbird, because there were over 400 training bases in Florida during the war years because of the good year-round climate.
400 training air bases, Harry? 400 training
over
bases?
400, yeah.
Wow.
And most of the little towns now, they have a little small airstrip which had been built by the Army Air Corps or the Navy Air. And down where we used to live in Tampa, the saying was one a day into Tampa Bay. And up here, the Suwannee River goes underneath a bridge. I can't remember the name of the town. Cross City, that's right. And they had an Army Air Corps base there, too, where they were training fighter pilots on P-40s. Hmm. And to prove how tough they were, when a guy got really good, he would fly underneath the highway bridge on the Suwannee River, between the river and the bridge. Well, one time the river was a little too high, and the pilot clipped his vertical stabilizer, and his student pilot was right behind him, clipped it off too. And if you have no vertical stabilizer, your plane rolls over and crashes. And he found two of these P-40s in a swamp.
Huh.
He had a big warehouse back in St. Pete, and he'd bring all these wrecked warbirds back, rebuild them into either static displays or flying.
Wow.
He made a ton of money at it.
Uh-huh. Neat.
But
neat.
Not anymore. They're all pretty well used up.
Well, I read that there were still a lot of wrecks all over of Germany, forests and everywhere.
Yeah, there's no question about it. Not only Germany, but the areas where there was heavy combat.
Oh,
like
Poland, Czechoslovakia, you name it.
Western Russia, sure.
Yeah.
Lots of them.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a huge industry. If people get into it, they got to dig them up, though, and then renovate them.
Well, the size of that war, fought with no computers, no cell phones, nothing. It was men and women and machines against men and women and machines.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. The only one, to my knowledge, the only one that used women in fighter plane combat quite a bit was the Soviets.
They did, but we didn't. We used them to transport planes.
Right. We had the WASP, Women's Air Force Service Pilots, and they did a huge job. They towed targets. They transported planes, the beat-up airplanes that came back to the U.S. They'd fly them to the repair bases, and then they'd fly the fresh planes back to where they were shipped overseas.
And guess who did most of the plane building during the war? Women.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, yes.
Our gals built most of the planes.
And did all sorts of work. Remember, I was a kid during the war years, and my mother worked in a factory making torpedoes in Chicago.
Wow. Wow.
My dad didn't go into the war, partly because his health was horrible, but also he was in the post office, and that was a protected job that couldn't be drafted out of the post office. But Dad's health was terrible. I mean, he had double pneumonia, he had diphtheria, but the man never laid down his cigarettes. He went through four packs a day, so he was 110 pounds, 5'9".
Wow.
Smoking is all sorts of fun, isn't it?
Must have had a deep voice, too, with all that smoke.
Yeah, he did. He had a great baritone voice. He was the choir director in our church. He was also the organist and the soloist.
Yeah. You know, and when radio was king, people used to smoke cigarettes because it would burn their vocal cords and give them a deeper voice.
Yeah. I remember, like I say, I was a kid back then, and there was no such thing as television. We heard the Lone Ranger on the radio and all sorts of stuff. And those announcers, yep, they had nice, deep baritone voices.
Oh, yeah.
Voices.
Beautiful, mellifluous voices. And most of it came from, cigarettes and, whiskey, too. That helps. That gives you a voice, too. You got to listen to Jack Benny.
Oh, God, yes. Otherwise known as Benjamin Kibelski. He was born and raised right outside of Chicago.
Benny Kibelski.
Yep. Benjamin Kibelski.
Wonderful. Must have been wonderful on Sundays to hear that program.
We heard so much. And then, of course, during the war, we would hear Walter Winchell. He'd come on with
Mr. and Mrs. America.
Mr. and Mrs. America and All the Ships at Sea. Yeah, it was a golden time. It really was. Despite the fact there was a war, we weren't getting bombed in this country, but still,
right.
We had rationing. You couldn't just go out and fill your gas tank. You had to have ration coupons. You couldn't buy tires. Meatless Tuesdays, and my mother, like every other mother, got to be a connoisseur of Spam.
Yeah.
And macaroni and cheese. We ate that a lot. And when we got tired of macaroni and cheese, we ate cheese and macaroni.
That too. Now you get to eat Entenmann's.
Yeah. He's a great guy and great product.
You bet. All right, let's go on here. Next picture.
There's Genie again.
Genie in the light. Genie with the light brown hair there, at least what we can see.
Genie with the light brown helmet.
That
this
too.
This is in the World War I display in Michael's Museum.
Uh-huh.
And there's another picture that is on the website with a rangefinder periscope that the guy would look over the trench because it was all trench warfare.
Right.
But there's times when somebody actually had to stick their head up to shoot at somebody, and he put on this 40-pound vest, this steel vest, and that steel pot on your hat, and Jeannie volunteered to wear it. She had to have 40 or 50 pounds of steel hanging on her, and she's just a little thing, about 110 pounds. And I can imagine you really wouldn't want to stick your head up out of the foxhole wearing that stuff.
No, a lot of people got their heads shot off because they had marksmen waiting.
Yeah, you go for a face shot.
Yeah.
Go for the throat. You can't cover that. And Michael there, he's having a ball with this.
Yeah.
He's a great guy. He's a good friend and just been a tremendous asset. He's a great guy.
So that's essentially a bulletproof vest. Is that what you're saying?
That's it. And he said it would stop pistol bullets or rifle bullets at an angle, but if a rifle bullet hits straight on, you're probably going to get killed. That's a hell of an incentive, isn't it? Hey, Franz, here, put this thing on and hope nobody shoots you.
Big confidence builder, for sure.
Yeah, right.
All right.
They lost a lot of people in that war.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The flower of Europe, as they say. Gone.
Yeah.
All for the banksters.
Yeah.
And they didn't end the war because Germany didn't lose. They were told they lost, and they were forced to sign the Treaty of Versailles, the most outrageous so-called treaty ever.
Oh, yeah.
And that guaranteed World War II.
Oh, sure.
So the bankers knew what they were doing. They were overdue. See, the sad thing is, as many of you know, we're overdue for another major war. These smaller wars. Vladimir Putin has laid it on the line. He said, if you bomb the Syrian military or in any way threaten our facilities, our men, our equipment, our materiel, and our mission in Syria, we will shoot you down. And what does Hillary say? I want a no-fly zone as one of my first acts, and I will enforce it, and we will shoot the Russian planes down. And that's called World War III. So this is a vote, this election, if nothing else, ladies and gentlemen, it's a vote between war and peace. And that's it.
Right. And you know, it's nice to say you got a no-fly zone when you're talking about Syrian pilots or Iranian pilots. But when you're talking about Russian pilots, you're talking about some hot pilots. Those are not some third world bunch of ragheads. These guys are tough pilots. And Putin's not going to back down. As you know, I met Putin a few years ago.
Yeah.
Spent about 15 minutes talking to him. He's a tough guy. He's very patriotic to his own country. And so, you know, he's just, of course, the press wants to make him out like a, call him a lunatic, et cetera.
Well, you should have seen, if I can find it, I'll send it to you. He made about a 12 or 15 minute presentation to the members of the Western, so-called Western press, after the St. Petersburg conference, 5-6 months ago, and he set them down, and he let them have it. He's a man who doesn't show emotion, but he set them down, and he said, "What is wrong with you people?
Yeah.
Why don't you tell the truth to the people in your countries? We are being dragged toward a major war, and you say nothing." He ripped him. He ripped him. And he's right.
Yeah, that's true. But we're not supposed to know the truth. We're supposed to know what the lamestream media feeds us. When I was in Europe in June, when I was in Monte Carlo and France, etc., the people there were violent when you said that you were a Trump supporter. I was at a cocktail party one night, and this lady from California, believe it or not, was a hardcore right-winger, and there was a guy from the Netherlands. He was so emotional. If this woman would have been a guy, he'd have been punching her because she said Trump is the way to go. And they're told over there that Trump is horrible, madman, groping women, etc.
Well, never mind the Clinton Foundation. Never mind the litany of crimes chasing the Clinton criminal cabal, which is as long as a 200-car freight train. Never mind any of that. You know that in Haiti, after the earthquake there, the so-called President Obama and Ban Ki-moon of the UN appointed a particular group to handle all of the donations that came in to help rebuild Haiti. And the name of that group was the Clinton Foundation.
Yeah.
Barack Obama gave Bill and Hill complete charge over all the money that was donated. How much do you think came in? $7.3 billion.
Oh, okay.
And virtually none of it.
People who needed it.
5% at the most. Yeah.
Right. We've got a film clip of a Haitian leader really unloading against Hillary and the fact that
I know he's the former president of the Haitian Senate. I know who he is. I know what you mean.
Okay. Yeah, the people didn't get squat out of it.
No, the Clintons are billionaires. They don't talk about it, but they $7 billion approximately disappeared.
Amazing when they left the White House in debt.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
I wish I could be so deeply in debt.
Yeah, I know. Well, you Corvette owners, we know how you loaded it. Okay. Next is a picture of two machine guns.
Couple of machine guns. This is still part of the World War One section. These are old, really museum pieces. You know, when I was in the military, I was a weapons specialist, and these things wouldn't even make it as a museum piece in you know, in modern day warfare. But this is what they had in World War One.
Right.
Water cooled.
They threw the lead out. And they killed a lot of people, so that's what they were supposed to do.
What they're designed for.
Yeah. All right. Next up, we have a picture of a flag. With
a
swastika.
A general on the right side and another officer. This is part of the World War II section.
Yeah.
You'll notice the flag is folded to where that evil swastika can't be seen. So
we don't want people
melt.
To go blind. That's right.
Right. And this is a private museum, so it's allowed as long as you don't show the whole swastika. Just show part of it, it's allowed.
How stupid.
I get the feeling, I think he has school tours in there, and he teaches them the way things really were.
Oh, good.
So, yeah, good for him. And yeah, he's a cool guy. He's a tough guy. When I first met him, he and I were about the same rank. I had the same type of rank with the Coast Guard Auxiliary, although it's not really a rank, but I had two rings on my sleeve, which is the same as a full lieutenant, which is the officer three. He was a hauptmann, a captain, officer three.
Uh-huh.
I dropped out of the Coast Guard Auxiliary. He kept going up and up, and now he's a lieutenant colonel. And within a year or two, we figure he's going to be a colonel and eventually a brigadier general.
Really?
Yeah.
And where was he born?
Germany, but I don't know what part.
No, okay. All right, now, Oktoberfest.
Oktoberfest. But
I knew we'd get back to food. I knew it.
I'm showing this, and then there's a lot more of this on the website, but the hotel we were at, this is a normal breakfast. These people go all out for breakfast. And the first thing is where you find your boiled egg, and the second one is all your cheese and meat and tomatoes. And the next picture is scrambled eggs, sausages, and fruit. And then the one with all the tall cups, that's all your cereal and your breads.
Wow.
It's a great breakfast, but it's not uncommon. I mean, they really do it a big for breakfast.
How did they do that and not go to sleep afterward? I'd need to go back to bed.
Well, like I say, there's not a lot of growth hormones that make you. And we didn't have time anyhow, because every morning we'd have breakfast and then we had activities. Mm-hmm. Some days we walked as much as 10 miles.
You are a cruel taskmaster.
Most of the days, 4 or 5 miles, but there was one day we walked about 10 miles. Maybe that's why I lost weight.
That might have something to do with it. Yeah.
So then, of course, you see, there's Jeannie again.
Yeah.
And we're getting ready. She got her dirndl over here in the U.S., and you notice her bow is on the left hip. She said she learned that if the bow is on your right hip, it means you're married. If the bow is on the girl's left hip, it means she's available.
Ah.
So.
And where do you wear your bow?
I didn't have a bow. I had a wedding ring on my hand, though.
That's it.
But, yeah, and Jeannie was just enjoying the hell out of the Oktoberfest in her dirndl, and everybody enjoyed the time there.
That's great.
And, yeah, we look at the next
You were there
picture.
Just 2 weeks ago, right?
Yeah. Yeah. On, what was it, on the 1st, I think it was, Saturday the 1st, or, no, it was Monday the 3rd, that's right, because that's a federal holiday in Germany, that's Reunification Day, and we had about an hour's drive from our hotel down to where the Oktoberfest is held, the Wiesen, which means the meadow, and normally, at that hour, you jammed up with rush hour traffic, but we were blazing along down the interstate there, the Autobahn, at about 100 miles an hour, 160 kilometers an hour. There was no traffic. All the shops were closed. All the businesses were closed. So we were just blazing along down the highway, and we even found a parking space less than 100 yards from the entrance to Oktoberfest.
Why was there no traffic? I don't understand.
Well, it was a federal holiday. Reunification Day in Germany.
They all stay home. Nobody goes out on the holiday.
Yeah, apparently so. I don't know where they were, but they sure weren't on the Autobahn.
All right. Okay.
And we get to Oktoberfest, and they had cops everywhere. There were dozens of police vans along the street.
Mm-hmm.
There were city cops, there were state cops, there were federal cops, all different kinds of uniforms, there were rent-a-cops, and then there were, I'm sure there were a ton of plainclothes cops.
Mm-hmm.
They want to make sure that that the loonies don't cause a problem there, and we had a great time. There was no problems. There were a few drunks, of course, laying down. You had to walk around them because they didn't have the oomph to get up. But Nobody blowing anything up. It was peaceful. It was a lot of fun.
Is it still going on right now?
Oh, no. The first weekend in October.
First weekend.
Okay. Yeah, Oktoberfest used to be the first 2 weeks in October, and it was for the wedding feast of Prince Ludwig, who later became King Ludwig II. And that was the one that bankrupted the Bavarian kingdom by building castles.
That's Mad Ludwig.
Mad Ludwig, yep, and they found him face down in the lake. That halted his spending. But because the weather in Germany usually turns kind of crummy the beginning of October, mm-hmm. they moved it forward, and it's 2 weeks long, but it ends on the first weekend in October. And I always have to laugh over here. You see Oktoberfest, and they put it in October because they think Oktoberfest should be in October, but it don't work that way. So, but Oktoberfest in Munich is the world's biggest beer party, and it's just a huge amount of fun. There's food places everywhere. There's games. There's carnival rides. Three of our people, Jeannie and Victor and another fellow who doesn't want his name mentioned, they went on a roller coaster, and when they got done, Carl came over and he said it was a near-death experience. So I asked him, why did he go? Well, why not? Okay. So he lived through his near-death experience. I personally won't go on those rides
No. Okay, next picture.
We see a bunch of young ladies.
Mm-hmm.
All of them have their knot on the right side. They don't look married to me, though, but these are just some of the scenes you see on the midway. The attendance was down a little bit this year from last year. I don't know why, but it was.
I had a couple stories about that. It's because people were worried.
Understandable.
Yeah.
Understandable. And you see the Bavarian colors in the background on that one, what is that, a big umbrella.
Uh-huh.
The Bavarian colors are not blue and white. They are white and blue.
Got it.
They make sure you know it's white and blue. We've on the website again. We got bunches of pictures of the midway, of the different beer tents,
mm-hmm.
and each beer tent is from a different Munich beer, only the Munich beers, and each one has a band that tries to be louder than the band in the next tent over,
and
the places are just rocking, and everybody's having a great time, and everybody's drinking beer.
Are these traditional bands or rock bands?
No, these are traditional.
Nice.
These are traditional. They play the old German songs, and whatever they play it loud. They rock the place.
Nice.
So, like I say, everybody's drinking beer except me. I'm not a very good Irishman. I don't drink beer.
It's okay. So I'm looking at these pretty dresses, and what do you call it? The bow?
The bow on the sash.
Yeah. Now there's one on the right there. That means you're married. If it's on the left, okay. The girl on the right side, hers is on the left. And then the other two...
Yeah, the little short girl, but the two girls up front, the one in the blue, the one in the pink...
They're doing that for defensive reasons.
Well, who knows?
It's like putting on a wedding ring if you're not married.
Yeah, to keep people from hitting on you, I suppose.
That's right.
I didn't see anybody hitting on anybody there. All I saw was everybody having a lot of fun, and a few drunks laying on the pavement. They couldn't get up.
Well, look at this next picture. It's just pretty. What is that? It's inside of something.
Inside of a beer tent there. And
why would you call it a tent?
Well, look at the next picture. The roof is all fabric.
Oh, okay. I got
it. Our group is part of that mess, that madhouse. And way up there at the back, that's the band.
Yeah, I see it.
Lots of clarinets, lots of tubas, oompa, oompa, oompa. And look at the girl in the foreground, the smile on her face. Just having a hell of a good time.
You know, you don't see that much even over here anymore. People really smiling. Oh, the younger people do, but kids always laugh. But people a little older, they don't smile so much anymore.
Maybe they don't have a whole lot to smile about in this government.
Not enough beer. I don't know.
Okay, no. I'll stop being political before I get the IRS down on me.
No. Well, that's a real pretty picture. It looks happy. Just looks happy.
Oh, you can't be unhappy at Oktoberfest. I mean, it's just a ball. Everybody's having a great time. And, again, the food is great.
Mm-hmm.
The beer, some of my group were getting stuff in little tiny bottles that smelled a lot like paint stripper, but I guess it was schnapps or something like that. I gave up drinking way back years ago.
Well, as a race car professional, you only drink after the race, right?
Yeah, after the race or for the parties 2-3 days ahead of the race. That was that's when I drank a whole lot. I could go through a fifth of Canadian Club and not really feel it.
Always amazed me how people do that. I don't understand it.
Well, you develop a tolerance, I guess.
I
used to drink a lot back in those days, but never on race day, of course. But and then when I left there, I sold everything I owned. When I stopped racing, I bought a 30-foot sailing yacht, put an ad in Cruising World magazine for female crew companion, got over 200 replies, whittled it down, and left Chicago with a blonde, a brunette, and a redhead, went to live in the Bahamas on my boat. Rum, the Imperial Court of Rum, which is bigger than ours, was $2.97 a bottle.
Wow.
So, of course, you know, a lot of rum. Coca-Cola cost more than the rum did.
Now, if you ran an ad, you'd get a lot of guys answering it.
It could be.
How dare you discriminate? What's the matter with you, Cooper?
Yeah, I'm as politically incorrect as I can be.
All right, well, we're going to go and have one more meal here, it looks like.
Yeah, one more meal. That was the meal we had there at the Oktoberfest, and that was Schweinebraten. And two.
Are those the potatoes?
Dumplings.
Yeah, potato dumplings.
Potato dumplings. They whip it to where it's almost like a foam, and then they cook it. And in that little blue cup, that's the sauce that usually goes on the Schweinebraten, but here I guess they put it on the side in case you don't want to use the sauce.
I don't eat meat, but, you know, I can understand. It looks nice. It's very pretty.
It's great.
Yeah.
Well, if you don't eat meat, I'll have to eat your share of the meat every place I go.
You're welcome.
Over there, pork is king. Also, venison. They got a lot of venison dishes over there.
Well, they're going to have to give up pork because of their new residents.
Yeah. Well, that's their problem.
And it should be. All right, let's not go there either. It's just the whole thing enrages me.
I sent
you a quote. We have, I'll just say this again, we are being set up the same way Europe was set up. And if we elect the wrong person, or if the wrong person is somehow able to throw the election, we're in trouble. We are in big trouble. When they get to a certain percentage of the population, there's no stopping it. It's done.
Well, and the average, how do I say, white couple, without sounding racist, the average white couple is having 1.5 children.
Oh, the birth rate is way down. Yeah.
Right, whereas the average of the invaders is 8 to 10 children.
That's right.
And not only diluting the people, they're also bankrupting us because they don't work. They're all on welfare. Not all, but a huge chunk of them.
They're not going to work either.
No, they get freebies, everything. When my grandparents came to this country, my wife's grandparents also, and people from that era 100 years ago, you had to have somebody in this country to vouch that the guy coming in is not a criminal, and he's going to get a job, and you're going to be responsible for him until he's responsible for himself. Now they come in, and first thing they know, where's the welfare office? Where's Medicare?
It's entitlements. No one's accountable. No one's responsible.
No, take care of me.
I
think part of the plan is to bankrupt the United States.
Oh, it's already, you know, we're $20 trillion in debt. $20 trillion. And when Obama started, it was 13. He's ratcheted up the national debt by $7 trillion.
Yeah. That's more money than I got.
Yeah. Wow. All right. Let's look ahead. We're going to do this again next Wednesday and take a look at the second half of the tour. And we actually had room for more pictures this time, so you can throw a few more in the next one if you want.
Next time we'll be talking about tunnels and bunkers that we have never been in before, warbirds, and a lot more stuff in that direction. Here we'll see the buildings, the castles, and, of course, Oktoberfest. But then in the next portion is going to be, like I say, the rare warbirds, bunkers, tunnels.
So we're going to get to see those warbirds and all that.
Yep.
All right, that'll be fun.
Now, we've already planned the dates for next year's Southern Patrol.
I was just going to ask you about that.
We begin on Sunday, the 24th of September. We go for 2 weeks, and we end on Sunday, the 8th of October. And we will be doing all the things you've seen so far and all the things you're going to see next Wednesday, but we've got a lot more stuff that we're going to be plugging in.
Well, I have an idea of some of it, you told me.
Yeah, you and I, we've gone over some of this, and it's, oh, man, it's just incredible.
Yeah.
And like I say, when I stood in front of that P-38, you know, I was in love. I wanted to be a fighter pilot when I was a kid, and I wanted to fly a P-38.
There's only two left in the world, isn't that it? Wasn't that what you told me?
There's only a handful, just a couple. This is the only one in Europe, and it's flyable. It does fly. It flies in air shows. And a friend of mine over there was talking. I was talking to him on the phone, and I hear this roar in the background. What the hell is that? The P-38 was just flying over his head because it's based in Salzburg. And this is something most listeners, I'm sure, don't know, because I didn't know. Red Bull, you know, the energy drink that owns this plane, they're headquartered in Salzburg, Austria. I had no idea. I thought they were an American company. They're not.
Well,
and they're making a fortune with that stuff, I guess, because they got warbirds, they got B-25, they got a Corsair, they got a bunch of Soviet jet fighters. You'll see that next Wednesday.
You can go on, by the way, you can go online and in YouTube, and if you type in FW-190, you'll be able to see some videotapes of 190s still flying. They've got them all restored. What an aircraft.
Oh, yeah, they called it the Butcher Bird
because
it was so good.
Yeah,
and the guy who designed that, Professor Kurt Tank, he didn't want to come to the U.S. or the Soviet Union after the war, so he went to Argentina. And along with 50 other aeronautical engineers, they designed and built fighter planes for the South American forces. And if you remember, the only part of the Argentine military that was really good was their air force.
Right.
They were flying planes that Professor Tank designed. I was in his office there at FADEA headquarters, which is the Spanish way of saying Argentine Air Force. And their air force was trained by three German pilots, Hans Ulrich Rudel, Gunter Rall, who was
How do you get better pilots than those?
Rudel, for God's sake, was probably the best pilot ever. Stuka pilot, sank a battleship, sank a cruiser, destroyed more than 500 Soviet tanks, God knows how many trucks and small ships, and he still managed to be an ace, planes.
And he only had one leg. He lost.
That's right. That's
he
right.
Lost
he only
half
had one
his leg.
And he
Figure
was skiing down there in Argentina, up in the Andes, by Barry Loche.
Well, that's when men were men and women were women. There were none of this gender bending garbage we're hearing now.
I know.
Unbelievable.
It's ridiculous, he and Scorzini, we've got pictures of them skiing in the Andes when they came down there to visit Hitler in Bariloche.
Yeah.
Oh, I found one more president had visited Bariloche, but that was before anybody ever heard of Adolf Hitler. That was Teddy Roosevelt.
He went down there too?
Yeah.
That's quite a find.
After the war, 1960, Eisenhower was there.
Yeah.
Carter was there during his administration. Bill and Hillary were there. And then early this year, Obama was there.
Now, your theory is that those presidents went down there possibly to sign on a an extension of some kind of an agreement that or a treaty that came out of the end of World War II. Is that still something you believe that maybe pertinent
to their conversation?
Oh, okay. Must have been a dream.
I don't remember that conversation.
Well, I don't either. There's so much going on down there. And now, when are you going down to Argentina again next? Do we know?
Right now, it's looking pretty good for February. My guide, we were going to put together a tour for down there, but my guide is in between jobs, and he's trying to land a job. Technical, or he finds locations for movie and TV commercial places, and he's in between jobs, so he can't break loose and guide a group. So I can go down to Buenos Aires. I have plenty of people I need to see in Buenos Aires, and then I'll go to Brazil. These two doctors I know in Brazil, in a place called Foz do Iguazu, which means the waterfalls, I guess. They met a woman.
He's picking his words, folks. Pick him carefully.
I'm picking my words very carefully.
Uh-huh.
This woman and her mother allegedly were dead in a bunker in 1945.
Right. I won't even guess.
They really weren't dead. They were down there in Argentina, and the woman who was the daughter had a scrapbook that was about 6 inches thick where she kept notes on everything, and she drew picture stories. I've seen the book. I've looked at it, and
wow.
These doctors are, they've written a book about it, and they translated it into English, but it looks like they used one of those translator programs. You know, throw me down the stairs.
Somebody can go through that and straighten it out.
Right. So I suggested they do that, and they said they have it corrected by now, and they need to know how to get it published. And some,
well, you're going to help them out.
Get it published, and there are other things down there that they know of that I need to see. You'll find on my website from when I was down there this past February, there are. Buildings there, homes, with bunker complexes in the basement. There's one, they got nothing but pictures of World War II SS soldiers in combat, and they've got 3 or 4 tunnel and bunker systems under their house. What the heck do you need that for in Brazil?
That's a very good question. Well,
yeah.
Maybe you'll find out. Harry, thank you. We'll do this again next Wednesday. Part 2 of our patrol to Europe, Southern Patrol. A lot of fun. Just great.
Looking forward to it.
Thank you, sir. Talk soon.
Have a good night.
Okay. Good night. Harry Cooper, sharkhunters.com. And we will be right back with hour number 3 after this.